starting today, Georgia will temporarily stop giving licenses to clinics that use medicine to treat people who are addicted to heroin or painkillers. Now, research shows that medication-assisted treatment with therapy is the best way to treat an opioid addiction. But some state lawmakers say Georgia has too many clinics. WABE's Michelle Alloy starts her story about a half hour south of the Tennessee line.
Zach Talbot sees the irony of running an opioid treatment program in an old doctor's office.
The funny thing is a lot of patients are like, this is where I first started getting prescribed pain pills.
Now, they're coming to Talbot's clinic in Chatsworth to get off of those pills.
All medications are taken in front of a nurse.
Outpatient clinics like this dispense drugs like methadone and buprenorphine, which are legal synthetic opioids that block cravings and withdrawal symptoms. Patients show up every day, take their medicine in front of a nurse, and sit through therapy sessions. Talbot's clinic started treating patients in February, but he says it's already got 150 in a space that's fit for about 200. So he wants to expand.
So we're either going to go out this way or, you know, like when schools do those portable classroom type things.
The CDC says more than 1,200 people died of an overdose in Georgia in 2014, a 10% increase over the previous year. So Talbot is outraged. State lawmakers just put a one-year moratorium on new clinics.
We're in the middle of an opioid addiction and overdose epidemic. You just think about that for a minute.
The reason, according to Republican Senator Jeff Mullis, is the state needs to figure out why so many clinics have opened in Georgia. His district sits on the Tennessee border, where a few clinics are clustered.
If you go to the parking lot of any of these clinics in Northwest Georgia, you'll see as many Tennessee, Alabama, North Carolina, Kentucky tags as you do Georgia tags.
Federal data shows Georgia has 67 opioid treatment programs, more than any other Southeast state. Tennessee has 12, Alabama 24, Mississippi 1. Mullis says it's too easy for clinics to open here because Georgia doesn't require operators to show there's a need, like other states, so it's open competition.
I don't want to take these facilities away from people who need it, but we need to manage and govern and regulate the ones that are here and the ones that are coming here.
There's also stigma around the addiction drugs used at opioid treatment centers because the drugs dispensed are opioids themselves. Critics say drugs like methadone are replacing one addiction with another. Tapering off of these drugs is optional, and some can stay on them all of their lives, according to the U.S. Department of Health. Jonathan Cannell heads the Opioid Treatment Providers of Georgia, a group of state providers.
If someone stays on a medication, that's not really the issue. People can still be dependent on something, but not live in active addiction.
Cannell operates three opioid treatment programs in Southwest Georgia. He rejects Mullis's claim that Georgia clinics lack regulations. However, he does support the moratorium. His problem? The regulations are not enforced properly by the Georgia Department of Community Health.
We've had treatment programs open up. Some people with limited knowledge of the field, they have not received surveys. How do we know that they are functioning correctly?
The Department of Community Health says it only has three people to keep track of the 67 clinics. The freeze on new clinics is the exact opposite of what the federal government wants states to do. In March, President Barack Obama came to Atlanta to highlight a nationwide treatment shortage and push for more programs.
We've got to make sure that in every county across America, that's available. And the problem we have right now is that treatment is greatly underfunded.
That shortage means Georgia's clinics are filling a need other southern states are failing to provide, says Zach Talbot, who runs the Chatsworth Clinic. He knows because he's also in recovery. He used to drive 4 hours back and forth from Knoxville, Tennessee to Georgia nearly every day to get treatment. While getting his master's in social work 8 years ago, Talbot was prescribed painkillers for some lower back pain. Then things spiraled.
It wasn't long before, and I still recall to this day, learning how to help people with behavioral conditions in class and then going into the bathroom to shoot pills and or heroin.
Talbot couldn't get a spot at a clinic in Tennessee and is grateful a clinic in Georgia could help.
The old Zach, that Zach that was in that graduate program for clinical social work, quickly came back.
As the co-owner of a clinic now, Talbot knows he has to battle perceptions. Talbot can't sign for medicine deliveries, and he can't open the safes that house the drugs. Talbot says when he shares his story at conferences, people ask him if he's still using medicine to treat his addiction. It's a question he doesn't like to answer.
I like to leave the suspense out there because the point is that, you know, you can't tell.
Michelle Aloy, WABE News.